KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkin out to Castle Cape, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 13 feet with rain. Tonight, east winds 25 knots, seas 10 feet with rain. And Wednesday, east winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 14 feet. Tonight, east winds 20 knots, seas 9 feet. And Wednesday, east winds 15 knots, seas 8 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Today, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 13 feet. Tonight, east winds 15 knots, seas 11 feet. And Wednesday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 8 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, today, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight, east winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet. And Wednesday, east winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, today, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. And Wednesday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. Lows in the 30s. Southeast winds 15 miles an hour. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s. Light winds. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 2:21 a.m. at 6 feet, 5 inches. A low at 7:31 a.m. at 3 feet, 2 inches. A high tide at 1:20 p.m. at 8 feet. And a low tonight at 8:17, a minus tide of 10 inches. Your sun rose at 9:12 this morning, and your sun will set at 6:40, giving us 9 hours and 28 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, Unalaska school officials are heading to Juneau to advocate for education priorities. And a lawsuit challenging Alaska homeschooling is growing. All of that and more coming up.
ALIU is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. ALIU is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about ALIU's commitment for a stronger future, visit alucorp.com.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. Unalaska City School District officials are advocating for a number of items during their annual legislative fly-ins. One top priority again this year is increasing the base student allocation, or BSA. That's a number the state uses to determine how much each district gets per student. Members of the district school board visited the Alaska State Legislature over the weekend, and Superintendent Kim Hanisch will do the same in late March. Hanisch told KUCB's Andy Lusk why the island's representatives want the BSA to grow and how flat funding makes it harder to keep teachers on island. Here's part of their conversation.
So at this one here, it's specifically called the Alaska Association School Board fly-in. And so school board members throughout the state will join on Saturday and Sunday. During those 2 days, they're training, conference, learning about the legislation that's out there. They get to take some time to really fine-tune their talking points. They'll practice when they go in to speak to one of our legislators or when they testify, what's the right way to do it, so they get a practice, gain some confidence on that. And then Monday, our board has appointments to visit with our local legislators. So we'll be seeing Representative Edgman and then Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson as well.
Tell me a little bit more about the training aspect. Who would the board members be training with?
They will have some of it just with the Alaska Association of School Board staff. And then usually they'll get someone from AML, Alaska Municipal League, that talks a lot about, especially where so much of this is about budget. They'll probably bring in a couple of school board members that have been active over the years to talk to them about how they advocate. And I'll be going back end of March, early April is when the superintendent fly-in is.
When are those going to take place?
So the board will be there 8th through the 10th. And then I can't tell you my exact when. It's the very end of March that I'll be there the same way for a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Will you be talking about the same priorities at these separate meetings?
Our priorities will likely stay the same. We might approach them differently depending on where the bills are and which ones are still active. And by that time, there's probably going to be new things that are thrown into them. So that part of it will change. But what we're really, our underlying message will stay the same.
And what is that message?
Increase the BSA.
Describe what exactly the BSA is and why it matters.
BSA itself stands for base student allocation. And so it's the amount of money the state provides, allocates per student. There's a huge formula that goes, that's numbers go through. So if we say we have 331 students, which we do right now, that starts the formula. Then cost of living for us is taken into consideration, number of special ed students, CTE, all these factors go in there so that a student in Unalaska now has a value that's going to be different than a student in Anchorage because it costs more to educate them here. So if we increase the base student allocation from where it is right now, and what our ask is for the next coming year is $1,000 increase, if we calculate that out, and I had Leticia Holloway, our business manager, just do a quick rough ballpark, that would bring in approximately $900,000. That we don't have right now.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And being in the BSA instead of one-time funding means I know the next year it's still that amount. And the next year after it's still that amount. Or maybe more. Like I wouldn't mind them because that still doesn't inflation proof us at that point after 13 years of flat funding. But it would take some pressure off.
And that's priority number one. Yeah. So what are some of the two, three, and fours for you?
Right now, if you go to acsa.org, they list the education legislation. That's the quickest place for me to go to see what all the bills are related to education. And there are about 20, 25 different bills right now out there. Out of the list, really, for us to consider hiring as well as retention, the ones, the BSA is going to have the most dramatic impact on us being able to afford teachers that want to come here. And then there's two sister bills that are regarding retirement benefits. And so, again, for retention, the retirement benefits are pretty important.
Pensions, right?
Well, that's, yeah, giving people at least a choice between defined contributions and defined benefits.
What makes these such pressing matters right now? What's changed recently?
Well, I'd say more what hasn't changed over the last 13 years now, and that's an increase in the BSA. So we've been flat funded. Put it in another way, as cost of living increases, we don't get any more money to pay for those expenses in any of the school districts in Alaska. So that's the pressing issue. Is it the districts, including us, we're getting to the point of kind of near panic of what we're supposed to do if we do not get that increase.
Let's say a member of the general public hears this interview and they say, oh, I'm also passionate about those issues. How can they get looped into this?
So you can always be writing letters to our legislators. So specifically, that would be Hoffman and Edgman. And by the way, our legislators are very much supportive of education. So you're not going in to fight them. You're going in and say, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. If you're wanting to testify on a during a specific committee meeting that's taken place, the easiest way to access that information is through Gavel, G-A-V-E-L. Just do a quick search on that. It'll show you any live meetings that are taking place. And then there'll be a number that you call in. I just did it yesterday, as a matter of fact. So you call in, they're going to ask your name, which committee you want to go into, and then you're on a waiting list, and you just listen to everybody else, and pretty soon your name gets called up, and you get between 2 and 3 minutes. I was trying to figure out when that bell started ringing, but a very short amount of time that you get to speak directly to the committee,
A little bit like a city council meeting.
Yes, yep.
Okay. What would you like the general public to know about all of this that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
We want everyone that's part of our school community to be inspired to navigate unique and personal journeys. Well, as cost of living is going up and no extra money coming in, to be able to achieve that becomes impossible because we can't broaden programs. The only thing we can start do is narrow what we can offer. It starts cutting into programs that were already, because that does take staffing to offer different programs. It starts making us look at class sizes. Students don't get as inspired in a class that's really large and they don't feel seen. So those are some big things to really be thinking about is if we don't have this funding, what's the risk that we're losing? Also, without that funding to be competitive in the salary market, people aren't flocking into Alaska in general. They're definitely not looking at areas that they can't afford. It gets disheartening when we know that we're going to struggle, but we will find quality teachers. They're out there, but we're going to be digging. But increasing that PSA would sure help a lot.
So if we can do a thought experiment for just a moment, I don't want to think about the next couple of weeks. I want to think about maybe 5 to 10 years from now. What would you like to see change within that timeline to bring more teachers onto the island?
Have a competitive salary that allows them to show up here and not spend the first year trying to get out of debt after they've gotten here. And I think that goes with anyone that moves here. So it's not just teachers. That's just everybody.
That was Onalaska City School District Superintendent Kim Hanisch speaking with KUCB's Andy Lusk about a pair of fly-ins to Juneau, where the district school board and Hanisch herself will advocate for Onalaska's education priorities. To learn more about the UCSD School Board, head to the district's website. Speaking of one of Onalaska's state representatives, Southwest Alaska Representative Bryce Edgman was elected Speaker of the Alaska House of Representatives last month, back in the role after a four-year break. KDLG's Margaret Sutherland caught up with Edgman during his first week back in Juneau.
By Friday of the first week of the legislative session, Edgman is still settling into his new office. Brown boxes are scattered throughout the room, a guitar case sits on the center table, and decorations are sparse, aside from a few choice pictures on the walls.
I have adorned above my office desk here in the Speaker's office a very big portrait of the late and very great Al Adams, legendary Al Adams, who we were able to name the Finance Committee room in his honor back in 2017. That was my first year as Speaker.
Edgman moved into the office 3 days prior, after he was elected Speaker of the House. But he's been here before as Speaker, from 2017 to 2021. Born and raised in Dillingham, Edgman is the first Alaska Native Speaker of the House. He is now the most senior member of the House, with 19 years of service.
Well, I've always, as a legislator, worked really hard to promote rural Alaska, to promote the Native culture, to promote the uniqueness of living off the road system in Alaska. And as Speaker of the House, I have a bigger platform to be able to sort of carry that message forward.
He says this legislative session is unique in his career as a legislator. For the first time since he's been in office, the bipartisan governing coalition in both the House and the Senate are Democrat-dominated, but the coalition holds the majority by a hair. Edgman was elected Speaker of the House by the slimmest margin possible. He says despite the slim majority, it opens doors to push bills through that would have previously stalled.
So that's going to give us, I think, a pretty unique opportunity to tackle big, difficult, complex subjects like election reform and certainly the needs for our schools to get adequate funding and things of that sort.
One of the major bills on the table is House Bill 69, which would increase state funding to schools and tie it to inflation. A similar bill passed the legislature last year, but Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed it. Edgman says he hopes to work with the governor this time.
So I'm optimistic that we can, for the first time in many years, put into statute that there will be an increase in funding for schools that'll be permanent basis and that school districts can use to look forward and plan around and, recruit and retain the workforce.
Edgman is also a part of a year-old legislative seafood task force, which issued its final report last month. The report detailed the seafood industry's struggles, including massive losses in revenue, related taxes, and jobs. The task force's recommendations include creating a seafood working group, offering tax credits, and reforming the Alaska Board of Fisheries to include more regional representation. Overall, though, he says the seafood task force's work will take time. He's tampering expectations. Edgman noted broader economic challenges for the state. He says Alaska no longer relies primarily on oil revenue. Instead, much of the state's funding now comes from the investment earnings of the permanent fund. Additionally, he says outmigration is straining Alaska's workforce, with more people leaving the state than moving in over the last 4 years. Edgman says it's becoming more difficult to attract and keep working-age people in the state, and it's beginning to show in high vacancy rates. Edgman sees reviving a pension system as a potential solution.
We're taking a look at whether we, in today's environment, can provide some kind of a hybrid system of a pension plan that would act to help, you know, bring more people into Alaska who want to stay and work and then feel like they're being ably compensated at the same time for doing that.
One way Edgman rewards himself for dealing with the demands of his state job is with music. The guitar case sitting on the table is not just for show. And he says the speaker chambers have great acoustics. He gets into tune for one of his original songs about Bristol Bay, life in rural Alaska, and the ups and downs of the fishing industry.
Well, we'll try this. I don't think this is not very good, but I haven't done the song at all. In the beat-up truck, God rest its soul.
From KDLG in Dillingham, I'm Margaret Sutherland.
Only potholes turning hard to the yard. It's all in cahoots, scraping last year's scales off my brand new boots. They talk about the weather, a new device, but throw out the net and just roll other dice.
That was great.
KUCB's Andy Lusk also caught up with Representative Bryce Edgman. We'll hear his interview later this week. A lawsuit that clouded the future of homeschooling in Alaska for months last spring took on new life Thursday. That's after the plaintiffs asked a judge to join four school districts as defendants in the long-running case. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
The plaintiffs challenge homeschoolers' use of state funding for tuition at private and religious schools. Under the state's correspondence school program, districts can provide parents with an allotment of up to $4,500 per child per year. That's to purchase supplies, curriculum, and other educational resources. And some programs allow parents to use their allotments at private schools. Scott Kendall is representing the four public school parents and teachers who filed the suit.
So the heart of this case is about students enrolled in homeschool, but nonetheless going to private schools, and essentially the reimbursement of their tuition at private schools being paid with public money.
The plaintiffs argue that practice violates the Alaska Constitution, which says, quote, no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. Last April, an Anchorage Superior Court judge ruled that the laws enabling the correspondence program did violate the Constitution. But just before the ruling was set to take effect in June, the Alaska Supreme Court put the case on hold and sent it back to the lower court. In an 8-page summary ruling, the justices said that the plaintiffs should have sued school districts rather than the state. That's because districts approve the vendors with whom correspondent students can spend their allotments. Kendall says Thursday's filing responds to the Supreme Court's ruling and looks to move the case forward.
We have found four school districts that are representative of different sort of uses or abuses of the system, and they account collectively for over half of the homeschool students in the state.
The four districts named in the suit are Anchorage, the Mat-Su Borough, the Yukon River community of Galena, and the Denali Borough, all of which run sizable correspondence school programs. Officials in Anchorage and Galena said they were reviewing the case. Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes, who has been a vocal proponent of education, says she hopes the case will clarify exactly what the state constitution says about spending public money at private schools.
I care about every child and every teacher, and so I don't know who would say no to a child having the best learning environment. If a child is in a particular kind of school that's not working for that child, I think as a state we should support allowing that child to be in a school.
The case is unlikely to be resolved anytime soon. Kendall says he expects a final decision to come from the Alaska Supreme Court. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for the week. The Unalaska Raiders basketball teams are heading to Nanilchik for a series of games this week, facing off against Nikiski tomorrow, Tok on Wednesday, and Nanilchik on Thursday. KUCB will broadcast the games live, with girls' games starting each day at 2 in the afternoon and boys' games following at 3:30. The Aleutian Islands Waterway Safety Committee seeks a new member for its managing board. Applications are due tomorrow. Interested Alaska residents can find the application details on our community calendar at kucb.org. A public meeting about Fort Glenn's former defense site and its five-year review will be held tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 at the Unalaska Public Library. All are welcome both in person and virtually via video and voice conference. Those web links are on our community calendar at kucb.org. The Museum of the Aleutians invites you to a short presentation and workshop on writing museum labels this Thursday evening from 5:30 to 8 at the Public Library. It's part of their project, Indigenizing the Museum of the Aleutians. Bring your own objects to write about during this hands-on community event that's about redefining exhibition labels to better document cultural and family history. For Valentine's Day on Friday, the Chart Room at the Grand Aleutian Hotel will offer a special 5-course dinner featuring Build Your Own Surf and Turf. Reservations are strongly encouraged. For more information on all these events and more, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant and a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also looking for a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. And today is February 11th, 2025. Happy birthday to Merle Gunderson. Happy birthday to Jaden Brandle. And happy birthday to Emily Carlson. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigan Corporation. Hometown Values and Service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
off, we're gonna tether roof off the mother sucker. Tether roof off the sucker. Tether roof off, we're gonna tether roof off the mother sucker. Tether roof off the sucker. Tether roof off, we're gonna tether roof off the mother sucker. Tether roof off the sucker. Tether roof off, we're gonna tether roof off the mother sucker. Tether roof off the sucker.
You gotta build up a thing going down, getting down. There's a whole lot of build up going around. You gotta build up a thing going down.
We gotta have the bump. Now, Roland the Roadie was only a toady who set up the lights and the mics for the shows. And Gertrude the Groupie was a rock and roll fan who stood by the stage door in the rains and the snow. All right. Okay. Roland the Roadie met Gertrude the Groupie at a rock concert back in Bayonne. He tried to seduce her, said he'd introduce her to all of the Beatles and Stones. So Roland the Roadie got Gertrude the Groupie a seat in the balcony above. And Gertrude the Groupie, the grateful and groovy.
But Roland the Roadie felt numb.
And some folks loves ham hocks, and some folks loves pork chops, and some folks loves vegetable soup. And Roland the Roadie loves Gertrude the Groupie.
But Gertrude the Groupie loves groups.
Up and scream as the amber spot beam on a hero so skinny and tall, with their eyelids so droopy, and Gertrude the Groupie knew she was in love with them all. Roland the Roadie told Gertrude the Groupie to wait and he'd be her man at home. But Bonnie dreamed of a rose coming home.
She was out with the group in the van.
Hey, Gertie! Gertie! Come on, baby! Come on out here, I know you're in there. The whole trail is moving, baby! What about me? Gertie! Gertie! Now Roland the Roadie is back on the road. His heart has been broken again. And Gertrude the out in the cold for the very next group to come in. And some folks loves ham hocks, and some folks loves pork chops, and some folks loves vegetable soup. Yeah! And Roland the Roadie loves Gertrude the Groupie, but Gertrude the Groupie loves groups. Groups, yeah. Groups, oh. Groups, groups.
He likes combos, trios, solos.
You're listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. Deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7 they fought the Congo War, with their fingers on their triggers, knee deep in gore. For days and nights they battled the band to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson gunner, Roland the Thompson gunner. His comrades fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. That tip of an Van Owen blew off Roland's head.
Roland the headless Thompson gunner.
They can still see his head.
mother's body stalking through the night in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who'd done him in. He found him in Mombasa, in a ballroom drinking gin. Roland aimed his Thompson gun, he didn't say a word, but he blew out Owen's body from there to Johannesburg.
Roland the headless Thompson gunner, Roland the headless Thompson gunner, Roland the headless Thompson gunner,
talking about the man.
Roland the headless Thompson gunner.
The eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley, Paddy Hearst heard the burst of a Roland's Thompson gun and body.
I found the simple